time to separate fact from fiction and health fads. It's time for the Dr. Holly Lucille Show. Here's Dr. Holly.
Well, hello there. I am so excited for this first segment to top off today, and my guest, I'm going to get right to it because I think we're going to be talking about such an important subject. Dr. Lise Altschuler, you're with me, aren't you?
I am. Hello.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. So I'm really excited to have you on because you're sort of like an iconic figure for me. I mean, past president of the AANP, and I saw you do such an amazing job leading our profession during the years that you had your administration, and I admire you so much. You are a practicing physician. You have leadership roles in so many areas of the naturopathic world, and we're going to talk today about something that I think is near and dear to your heart, fortunately or unfortunately, because you're also a cancer survivor, and our topic today is five steps to reducing your risk for cancer, because as you know, as well as I do, I see them all the time. There's the race for the cure, the crawl for the cure, the run for the cure, the swim for the cure. We have all these fundraising geared towards cancer, and I think you and I both share this deeply. I think prevention is the cure, right?
For sure, yes.
Yeah,
and you know, it's so interesting because there's hardly any attention given to prevention. As you mentioned, all those races are about finding the next best drug, which, you know, that's great if we can find it. But in the meantime, there's so much we could do to help lower our risk for cancer.
All right. Well, so great. We've got about 9 more minutes left. We're just going to download to the listeners exactly what those steps are, because I think we could probably talk for 9 hours. But I think what we can pack in here is probably pretty simple and pretty doable after we get done for folks to start today to prevent cancer.
Absolutely. Well, gosh, let me first say that I am actually delighted to be on the show. I respect you greatly. And yesterday was the birthday of our latest book, which is called The Definitive Guide to Thriving After Cancer, and it's a re-edition of our Five to Thrive Plan book. So
excellent.
It just was available yesterday, and it really goes through everything that I won't have time to go through in this next few minutes on cancer prevention. So I hope people, if they're interested, can check that out.
Where can they get that, Lise?
They can get that on Amazon and at bookstores nationwide.
All right. So that's say the title again for me.
Sure. Yep. It's The Definitive Guide to Thriving After Cancer. They can learn more about it on our website at 5tothriveplan.com.
Okay, great. All right, so this will be a snippet of what you can find in those. And I should have said that at the top of the show. You're definitely a prolific author, and you share the knowledge of your experience and also your education. So let's get right to it. Preventing cancer, what do you have for us?
Well, you know what? The thing is that this is actually not rocket science, that living a fundamentally healthful life is really the key, I think, to cancer prevention. And we've distilled this down after reading thousands of articles, really thinking about the naturopathic principles that you and I are so familiar with, into five key components of cancer prevention. So the first, obviously, is diet. People think a lot about diet when they're thinking about cancer prevention. At best, having a super good, healthy diet will lower your risk of cancer by about 30%. Nothing to be scoffed at, and also obviously not an ironclad, if you have a good diet, you're never going to get cancer, but it makes a difference. So healthy diet's important, and it's not extreme dieting that's going to work. It's just eating a whole foods, colorful, unprocessed, you know, using lots of spices, meaning lots of culinary spices. That's really the core of a good healthy diet for cancer prevention.
Right. You know, and you say 30%, that's nothing to scoff at. That's a pretty big number when you're talking about one of the diseases that continues to be on the rise despite all that we know and all that we do and all of the money that we raise. This is something that the incidence and the prevalence continues to rise. You know, diet used to be a really funny kind of connotated word for me, and so I put that to rest when I looked it up in the dictionary. I'm like, what does diet actually mean? I'm like, I'm going to get right down to it. And this is what I love. What I found is that diet actually means habitual nourishment. So that's what I like, how I like to frame it to people. So how, as a habit, do you nourish yourself? And I think when we're talking about, as you say, living a healthful life and having a good nourishing diet being a huge part of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Love that. Habitual nourishment. And that's exactly what diet should be. And in fact, that actually brings us to another core component of our Five to Thrive plan, which has to do with what we call spirit. And there's we actually start our plan with this intervention, because what we found is that when people live a life that's based on love, on laughter, on joy, then their cells sing, literally, not quite literally, but their cells are much happier. And, you know, people who engage on what they think is a preventive lifestyle but do it kind of grudgingly and resentfully actually typically don't have very good health. There's a really strong connection between the attitude with which we live our lives and the way in which we live our lives. So spirit is, to us, kind of fundamental. It's like the starting point for why and how we do all the rest of it.
Excellent.
Okay, so we've got diet, we've got spirit, and then we have another key strategy, which is about movement. And we don't call it exercise because people have a bad connotation sometimes with the word exercise. And it really comes down to movement. And this is probably, you know, I often say if I was stuck on a desert island, there's only one cancer prevention tool that I could bring with me, it would be exercise.
Right.
Because the data is unbelievable. There's, you know, people who exercise, and it doesn't take a lot, just the equivalent of 30-minute brisk walk 6 days a week will lower their risk of some of the most common cancers anywhere from 40 to 60%, which is pretty astounding if you think about it.
Sure. And, you know, I know you as well to also not be not only a great speaker and a great educator from your experience in education, but from getting in and digging into the research and coming up with numbers like 30% as far as decreasing your risk for cancer with diet and then 40 to 60% with intentional movement. I mean, these are just things that the listeners need to hear. Yes.
Yes. And, you know, what, like things are in nature, this is a synergistic relationship. So when somebody eats a good, healthy diet, gets their good, colorful vegetables in every day, and exercises, the effects are actually additive. They've done studies to demonstrate that. So you get more benefit when you do both. And I think that the one thing I would say about movement is that it really, you know, people often get a little nervous if they're not a regular exerciser because they think, oh, you know, gosh, how am I going to incorporate this into my lifestyle? But starting small really makes sense. There's been some pretty interesting studies recently that have come out that have shown that even little bursts of activity, 1 to 2 minutes throughout the day, when you add them up, if you get to 30 minutes by the end of the day, you actually have the same benefits from a health perspective as you do if you were to have spent 30 minutes in the gym. Now, I happen to believe that actually doing sustained exercise is something to have as a goal, but in the meantime, just doing little bits, getting up from your desk, stretching your legs, doing some deep knee bends, walking down to the bathroom instead of, you know, holding it, and making an extra trip down the stairs, and doing anything you can to just get movement is really important.
Parking far away from your destination, using the stairs instead of the elevator, escalator, etc. All right, I think we got a couple minutes left, and I know we got at least two more preventative tips, easy, doable, inexpensive, for preventing cancer.
Okay, well then I'll just say the other two parts of our strategy. One is rejuvenation, and in this pathway we talk a lot about the importance of sleep, of replenishment, of living in rhythm with nature. And then the last pathway is something that doesn't get talked about enough in terms of cancer prevention, but that's using dietary supplements.
All right.
I'm a strong believer in the use of dietary supplements for cancer prevention, and I think that most people benefit from taking targeted supplements. In our book, we talk about the specific supplements that have the most benefit.
All right. Elise, I'm definitely going to have you back because these segments go so quickly, but you can find more information about Elise Altschuler at and her book, her new book that's been released yesterday, Definitive Guide to Thriving After Cancer, Healthful Life, Spirit, Intentional Movement. You've got to have rejuvenating sleep and also dietary supplements, which you're going to learn more about when you go to Amazon and get her book. Elise, thanks so much for being here.